We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday, it's February 9th, it's 2021, and we have seven NBA games to talk about here on today's slate. We are presented by Monkey Knife Fight. If you guys haven't checked them out, they're the fastest growing single player DFS site out there. You get a 100% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit if you use our link, rotogrinders.com/partner/MKF. It will be in the description of the podcast. You guys can check that out. I'm joined by my good buddy, fresh off a Vegas trip, Genie407. Grant, how are you doing, my friend?
I feel fantastic right now. I actually do. Don't know why. Don't understand it, but I feel great. You know, haven't played basketball the last 2 days for obvious reasons, but ready to get back into it. Fun little slate. Yeah, hoping to spend the next 2 weeks recouping my loss from the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl is brutal, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, NASCAR starts today. So hoping to start off right with that. But let's get into it. And sorry, I was reading something. Let's get into it. Brooklyn at Detroit is where we start. No total in this game. KD is out for Brooklyn. And then on Detroit, Ellington's questionable. Hayes is out. Jackson's questionable. Okafor is out. DSJ is in the protocols from the trade. We're going to put him as questionable, but he probably won't play. And Wright is questionable. Let's start here with Brooklyn. Brooklyn should control this game, Mike. This shouldn't be that close of a game, right? Like, what do we like here for Brooklyn?
Yeah, it shouldn't be that close of a game, but I honestly wouldn't surprise me. Brooklyn has been off and on. Like, again, they'll have two of their big three, but I'm not playing him as if it's going to be a blowout. I think that both Harden and Kyrie are both very much in play, 10-9 and 10-3, considering what their potential upside is and what their floor is. They're not the worst price tags in the world. Obviously, prefer Kyrie a little bit more to Harden just because his price tag is significantly cheaper. But depending on what value ends up opening up on the slate, Harden could become a mainstay in my lineups. Outside of that, like, Harris is probably priced about where he should be at 6'2". He's going to end up giving you 25 to 35 points, so not really a guy that I'm looking at. Jeff Green, going to play 30 minutes and not really pay off his 5.3K price tag. Jordan's a little bit interesting. Just the fact that it might be the height, like he plays a little bit better. I think he plays a little bit better with Harden without KD in there. Could potentially play 30 minutes. If he does, going up against Brooklyn, it's not the worst matchup in the world. He's an interesting tournament play, depending on what value ends up opening up tomorrow. But predominantly it's Harden, Kyrie in here, and both of them stand out as good plays as long as the game stays close.
I think the other guy you could potentially look at is like TLC. He's gonna play 25-ish minutes here with these guys out. We'll see. Like, you know, he got 33 minutes the other night because Kyrie was out, but he, you know, had a decent game. So, you know, they could play Shamit too. There's so many. Like Jeff Green's obviously he's gonna, you know, get like the 30-ish minutes. They could play Bruce Brown. So maybe you don't play TLC. I don't know. I think you look at Harden and Kyrie. If Kyrie sits, you know, there's a ton of value to kind of go around here. Just in general. Detroit, you know, we were chatting before we even got started. We're like, if Wright misses and Ellington misses, who's going to play point guard for Detroit? And I think like that is just like the question mark and why this game might not stay close.
Yeah, no, it definitely could be a problem. I wouldn't be surprised if they just decided to run Jackson or Grant at point.
He's like questionable too.
Jackson's questionable?
Yeah, he's like an illness or something. He's questionable too.
Oh, really? That's not showing up on mine, but oh gosh, that like, if you're stacking up this game, like Jeremy Grant, I have to assume is going to shoot the ball 20-plus times if this game's going to stay close. Like, he has to do a ton on offense, so I think he's in play at 7K. Like, it's up against Brooklyn. They're terrible defensively. They run at a fast pace. Like, it's going to be a high-scoring game if it can somehow stay close. So I think most of these guys are in play if you're playing Kyrie or someone on the other side. So Jeremy Grant, I think, is in play, and then you just kind of figure out who's going to end up playing. Like, there's too many question marks right now. But if Jackson's out, then you can look at Wright at 6K. If he ends up playing, like just because they're going to need him to run the point and they're going to need him for minutes and they're going to need him for usage and it's a good matchup. But like it is impossible to say who to use if we don't know who's playing or not. But based on the injuries, like if Jackson or DSJ end up playing, then you can play either of them. Like, oh, I was talking about Josh Jackson. Yeah, no, he's not questionable.
Oh, Josh Jackson. Okay, I get what you're saying. Jackson, right? Like, yeah, he's.
Yeah, no, I knew Frank Jackson was questionable, but like they could potentially have him run the point. I don't know if it's the greatest idea in the world, but they might just be forced to do it based on who's in or out. So I think Grant's in play regardless is a bring back just because of the great matchup. But any one of the guards that are in play, if several of them get ruled out, are very, very much in play, and I think could end up crushing their price tag, especially if Ellington and Wright end up getting ruled out, and either Jackson or DSJ for some reason ends up playing, they're 3K. They can come in with 24-plus minutes running the point and crush their price tags, especially in a spot like this. But it all depends on the injury news. Outside of Grant, I think, who is a great play if you're bringing it back, or Jackson is a great play if you're bringing it back, because they're just going to need some point scorers, and those two guys are the likeliest to put up 20-plus shots in the spot.
Yeah, like obviously this is really just going to be determined by injury news. So this one's really tough, but luckily it's like the 7 o'clock game. So like we're going to be able to adjust everything as soon as like the news comes out. Knicks and Heat, no total in this game. Noel is questionable. Bradley, Dragic, Harkless, and Leonard out. Let's start with New York. What are we looking at here for the Knicks?
Really just Randall. Like I don't know what Rose is going to be like with this rotation. Quickly, seeing his minutes just plummet, I don't understand it, but I can't imagine Rose being there is going to change anything for the better for him. Burke's probably priced about where he should be at 5.1K. I like it's Randall. It's just Randall. I mean, Barrett's always fine, but it's not really the greatest matchup in the world going up against Miami. Don't really see a ton of upside. It's going to be a lower scoring, lower pace game. Just like the guard situation is just so ridiculous to me right now. Trading for Rose is just, I don't understand it. No one understands it. But like this guard situation is just so muddled. All of them are priced about where they should be. They could all end up seeing very low amount of minutes because of how many different ones they have. So you stay away from the guards, and that literally just leaves Randall for me. He's always a guy that has triple double upside. He's always a guy that should go for 20 plus real life points, should go over 50 DK points, even in this spot. They just played it a few days ago or yesterday, whatever it was. And he put up 56. Could see that again. That's it. Like I don't want anything else. I'm gonna be able to leave the situation alone unless something starts to show from it. But right now the guard situation is just an absolute mess.
Yeah, and they're adding Derrick Rose.
Just play quickly for 30 minutes. That's why are they trying to do anything else?
Yeah, like, you know, if Quickly was getting consistent minutes, we'd obviously like him. But I really think Randall's the only guy you can like from New York. I think you're right on with that. If you're even if you're playing like 150 teams, like who else would you realistically take shots on? Like Burks, maybe? I think he'd be the only other guy that I'd remotely even think about. But like, I don't even love that. And then on the Miami side of things, like, you know, Butler's usage is insane right now. Over 44 fantasy points in 7 straight games. Goran Dragic already out, Bradley out. Like, he's just going to continue to get the usage. It's just the price is the biggest thing. But like, he's coming off of a game he shot 3 for 11 and still put up 44 fantasy points.
Yeah, the shots really haven't been there in the last 3 games, and he's still been paying off his price tag. Prior to the first game against Washington, he was putting up 17 plus shot attempts a game, scoring over 50 in every single one. And weirdest thing in the world is that he's put up 44.5 points in 3 straight. You don't see that kind of weird consistency outside of Chris Davis. But like, he's been close to a triple-double. He's been close to a double-double each of the past 3 games, and it's just been one assist shy of missing it, or 2 boards shy of missing it in each of the last 3 games. And so, like, there's definitely a little bit more upside. 8.3K, he's barely paid off that price tag in the last 3 games. But again, just not shooting well. The volume shooting hasn't been there. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a little bit of an uptick in any given game here. So I like Butler, and that's really it. Nunn's price tag is right where it should be at 56 or 5.6K. He's playing 30-plus minutes, but unless he has a ridiculous shooting night, which he occasionally has, he's not going to pay off that price tag. Over the last month, he's been shooting 50% from the field. I don't know if that's entirely sustainable. And even shooting 50% from the field and putting up 12-plus shot attempts, he's still only averaging about 28 points, 30 points, which, if you're assuming some negative regression, a matchup versus New York that's going to be slow-paced and it's a tough defensive matchup, he can't pay off that price tag. Hero always is a shot at a big game, but 6.7K is not worth taking that shot on this big of a slate with this much value. So it's just Butler.
Just Butler, I think, for me too. I just don't like Bam could crush in this spot, and like, he's the only other one that I would play, but like, I'm not going out of my way to play him. I will say, like, if you find Kendrick Nunn cheap anywhere, his minutes are going to be back up in this game just because of some of the injuries with like Dragic and Bradley out. So he's going to play 30 minutes probably off of the bench. He could potentially even start here. So, you know, if he's cheap anywhere, I don't have Yahoo or FanDuel, Superdraft, any of that stuff pulled up in front of me. Moving on, we got Houston at New Orleans. It's a back-to-back for Houston. No total in this game. We do know that Oladipo is probably not going to play. We know Christian Wood's out. Wall and Eric Gordon are both expected to play. And then as far as New Orleans goes, Hart is questionable. Let's start here with Houston. Obviously, you know, no Oladipo. And like, we know that, you know, Wall at 7,300, he's probably too cheap here.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of is. The problem is, you never know if he's going to get into the mid 30s because he just doesn't seem to. And his minutes are all over the place. Granted, he keeps ending up in the 35 plus point range almost every single game. So I think Wall's too cheap. I plan on playing him a decent amount. He's definitely a guy that's on my board. And then I think I'm going back to the well on Boogie. Still 7.4K. I know he had a rough night last night, which means probably going to come in at low ownership tonight because he burned so many people, but still getting a 27% usage. If this game stays close, which it's more likely to on there, then I assume that he's going to end up with 30 plus minutes. So like, it's, he didn't get the double bonus. Like, he didn't play a ton because of the blowout. It was a rough night overall. So I'm just going right back to the well with Boogie. It's him and Wall for me. Like, Gordon, you can always take a shot on, but not someone that I really want to. Been crushing recently. He's been shooting the ball fairly well due for some negative regression. So he's probably my favorite of anyone on here, but Wall's right.
Yeah, like, they got blown out by Charlotte. So really, tough to kind of gauge that one at all. But I think, like, you know, if you want to play DeMarcus Cousins, you want to play John Wall. I think, you know, obviously you look at John Wall, the last game was super competitive and it was, you know, 32 minutes. And if this game is competitive with Oladipo out, maybe we are getting 33, 34, 35 minutes from John Wall. And at 7,300 with the usage, you know, we're looking at 33% usage in 131 minutes with no Oladipo, no Wood, and no Exum. So massive usage, averaging 1.24 fantasy points per minute. Goes up even more with James Harden off too. I forgot to take him off. I always forget, like, when someone gets traded that you got to, like, manually type it in. But, you know, that's another person that, like, you know, you're taking off the floor. Let's see where it comes out at with Wall. So you're looking at John Wall, 90 minutes, 35% usage, 1.28 fantasy points per minute. So definitely be on him. DeMarcus Cousins, 1.32 fantasy points per minute. Eric Gordon, a fantasy point per minute. So definitely liking the Houston side here. New Orleans is playing a lot faster now too. So obviously that's super good for the Houston guys. What do you like here for the Pelicans?
Ingram, Zion, Ball. It's an all right matchup versus Houston. Obviously, they were great defensively, and they kind of fallen off a little bit, and they're regressing more towards the mean. But, like, it's a slightly above average matchup in my eyes, which means Zion and Ingram, priced at 8.2 and 8.5K, are about where they should be. Like, I think there are better plays on the slate. I'd rather go with Butler than either of them. You get pretty much the same floor, if not a little bit more, and you get more upside. Ball is probably my favorite of the three. He's been putting up pretty decent numbers recently, contributing in all areas, putting up over 30 points in six straight, averaging around 37 in that time frame. So he's been paying off the 6.3K price tag. This game stays close and a decent matchup. He could end up with 45 plus, always a threat at a triple-double. So Lonzo is probably my favorite play, but Ingram and Zion are just guys I'll strictly throw in if I'm playing Wall or Boogie or both.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, Houston, obviously Houston without Oladipo, like, he, you know, and Christian Wood, like, those are the two, like, main defenders you're worried about the most. So, like, I think you have to kind of bump these guys up. I think Lonzo is super interesting in this game just because of the price. You know, when you're looking at Zion, you're 8,200. He could put up 35 and kind of kill you at that price. And Ingram back to, you know, 20 shots over the last couple games. You know, that's what we kind of want to see from him. So I would prefer Ingram over Zion, but, you know, if you're looking for a little bit of value to run back here, I think Lonzo would potentially be the guy. Moving on, we got Golden State at San Antonio. Same game that we had, you know, yesterday. 233.5 total again. I think the total is a little high. You know, especially watching, I watched some of that game. No injury report because it is a back-to-back, but I would assume that you're probably looking at same, you know, type of injury reports. What are we looking at here for Golden State?
Curry, Green. Green's been playing great recently. He's been heavily involved in the offense, even though he hasn't been scoring points. He's been dishing ball out a lot and been getting there. 40 and three straight, 6.9K. Probably about where he should be priced, but we just saw this game last night. Him and Curry did well. Everyone else was just fine. Like, I don't really want to pay 6K for Oubre or for Wiggins. I'm not going to argue with it. Scano Anderson, not really getting there. He had one big game where he played 40 minutes, and that was really it. 5K is not a low enough price tag for him. So, yeah, it's Curry and it's Green. We just saw this game. We know what's good. What happened?
Yeah, I think you can go back to the well on Toscano Hernandez or Anderson again. I think he had like 4 or 5 fantasy points a half, had a much better second half, got into a little bit of foul trouble in the first half. So his price actually, like, his price increased. I didn't realize they increased his price. So I don't even love that as much. I think, like, Draymond, Curry are your two main targets. If you're not playing Curry, you could take a shot on, like, Oubre or Wiggins, but don't overall love it. And then on the San Antonio side of things, like, I really liked DeRozan yesterday. I'm going to go back to the well on DeRozan in this spot. And I really liked Derek White yesterday. And if we get news that Walker is going to miss again, like, I think that's – oh, no. So Walker is going to be back for Tuesday. So I don't know how much I like Derek White with Walker back.
Yeah. And I don't – have we gotten news on LMA yet? I don't think we have. They just ruled him out for Monday night. They didn't give us Tuesday night news, right?
Nothing on him for Tuesday night.
All right. Well, if he ends up missing, then Puddle's an all right play. But realistically, I'm going for, like, Murray obviously had a ridiculous night. We're not going to expect 8 steals again, but still, I think it's underpriced at 6.5K. I don't understand it at all. Like, they gave him a price decrease. But DeRozan, Murray, if LMA ends up missing, are fantastic plays. They're both way too cheap considering the matchup, considering their usage increase. And Kelvin Johnson is always a guy that's in play for tournaments. He shot the ball terribly in the last game, going 4 for 13. But if he shoots the ball well, they'll let him keep chucking, and he can absolutely end up with a 40-point game. He's mostly just for tournaments because he can always put up a goose egg for some reason. But Murray and DeRozan are fantastic plays in the spot if LMA's out. And even if he's in, they're still pretty good plays going up against Golden State, who's still one of the fastest-paced teams in the league.
Moving on, we got Orlando at Portland. No total in this game. Michael Carter-Williams, Fournier, Fultz, AG, Isaac, all out. And on the Portland side, Collins, Little, McCollum, and Nurkic out. So the Magic very, very short-handed here going up against Portland. No Aaron Gordon, no Eric or Evan Fournier. What are we looking at here with the Magic? Because, like, outside of Vooch, everybody's under 6K.
Yeah, but I don't know. It was a weird game getting blown out the other night. Like, you look at their rotations there, and you had Mo Bamba playing the entirety of the fourth quarter. You had Okiki playing the entirety of the fourth quarter. But looking at the rest of the game, like, they still spread things out pretty often. Like, Cole Anthony was getting a decent amount of run and will continue to get a decent amount of run. And he's the best point out there. And Vooch is going to get a ton of run. Outside of that, like, they're just running the rest of the guys like 25 minutes in all likelihood, 25 to 30 minutes. So even though they're all cheap, I expect Cole Anthony and Vooch to get most of the usage. I mean, Terrence Ross can always put up a big game if he gets hot from the floor, but 5K is probably the right price tag. And like, it's a 5% or 95th percent outcome for him to get a game where he really ends up crushing value. Bacon, Birch, and his Clark are all going to get about how many minutes they should. And so, like, no one's that expensive, but they're not running a Knicks rotation on anyone outside of Anthony and Vooch. So it really doesn't leave any of these value options as great options because they need 30 minutes in order to really get there for the most part. And that's not guaranteed for anyone outside of Cole Anthony or Vooch, even with them missing a lot of their players. So Vooch stands out as a great play. Like, it's matchup versus Portland, one of the best matchups on the board. He just put up 43 points not too long ago. Like, Vooch is a fantastic play because he's going to eat up all the usage. And Cole Anthony, if this game stays close, he's more of a guy that I'm putting in if I'm throwing out in Lillard or Cantor over on the other side, because his value is largely dependent on him playing a bunch of minutes. I mean, he can get there if they get blown out in the third quarter still. He can get there with the 29 minutes. He did it basically last game, but his value is mostly dependent on the game staying close. So he's more of a run back for me. Vooch is fine as a one-off. Should absolutely crush here.
Yeah, like Cole Anthony, he actually played a little bit in the fourth quarter the other night. J-Man, they started Bacon, Vooch, Ennis, Anthony, and Clark. I don't like Clark, but I think Ennis is someone that is somewhat interesting on the slate where we haven't talked about a ton of value. Just because he's probably going to be a guy that plays 30 minutes, whether it stays close or not. And I think Bacon is someone that you can definitely take shots on, but Vooch is the main play. Anthony's the other guy. And, like, you know, Bacon and Ennis would be like secondary plays. Mo Bamba got all the garbage time run. Frank Mason got all the garbage time run, and Okoye got all the garbage time run the other night. So I wouldn't trust any of those guys. On the Portland side of things, you know, obviously this is a spot that we're kind of guessing, you know, who to play outside of Lillard. Gary Trent is kind of expensive. Covington is kind of expensive. What do you like here for Portland?
It's really just Lillard. Cantor, his price tag's up enough with Lillard coming back, should see a little bit of a decrease in usage, match versus Orlando. It's been better this year, but it's still not the greatest match in the world. So, like, Cantor at 7.5K, I feel like there's multiple other guys on the slate that I'd rather end up going with. Cantor has only gone over 41, or hasn't gone over 41 and a half points in, like, seven different games. At 7.5K, I want a little bit more upside. So he doesn't really make my cut. Lillard is always a threat to just absolutely crush in any spot. Covington has his price increased so much because of the increased usage he's gotten while Lillard's been out, but I expect that to go a little bit more back down to normal to what he was doing beforehand, because he hadn't paid off his value literally all season long until Lillard got ruled out. Trent did have those two big games with Lillard in the game, but like now he's still going to play a bunch of minutes, but he's not going to play in the high 30s in all likelihood with Lillard coming back, because they won't need him that much of a scorer, and they have a few more guys in the rotation. So 6.4K is probably a little bit high. He can absolutely still go for 40 if he gets hot, but you look at his big games, and it was 4 for 9 and 7 for 9 from beyond the arc, and 7 for 13. Like, those have been his big games. If he's going to shoot 50% from beyond the arc, yeah, he can crush, but more likely we're going to see some negative regression here. And so his price tag is too high. Melo, with Lillard coming back, they're not going to need him for that many minutes, so I don't expect a ton out of him. It's just a spot where you get a star player that goes out who has all the usage, and everyone slowly starts to get a bump in salary. And then as soon as he comes back, they're all way too high priced. So it's just Lillard, and he's probably a little bit too cheap at 10K.
Yeah, you're really hoping the game stays close if you're playing Lillard. So you're probably running Lillard back with like Vooch or something. But man, if you want to like roll the dice, I think Rodney Hood would be the guy you roll the dice with. I think Lillard is really the only guy you're looking at here. Philly at Sacramento, 230 total here. Philly favored by 4.5. Scott is out. Outside of that, both these teams healthy and ready to go. What are we looking at here for Philly?
Embiid and Simmons are probably my two favorite. Like, it's Sacramento. We know how bad they are defensively. Like, they're not the fastest paced team in the world, but they're still a horrific defensive team. So Embiid, obviously going for the MVP, been crushing, been averaging over 55 points over the last 7 games, I believe. And this is a perfect crush spot here if this game ends up staying close. So him and then Simmons, always a threat at triple-double. Outside of that, I think Seth Curry is the interesting guy. He came back from his illness, played 27 minutes the other night. He still hasn't had a game where he shot a ton in almost a month, or a little over a month. The last time he shot over 11 shot attempts was against Washington at the beginning of January. That's where he went for 40 points. So his minutes are gradually increasing. He played 27 in the other game. It was a bit of a blowout. And this is a spot where he could end up playing 30-plus minutes. 4.2K, we already talked about. There's not a ton of value at the moment, although that could definitely change tomorrow. Seth Curry is probably my favorite play from Philly, especially with a bad defensive team like Sacramento. He can end up putting up 14 shots in this game and end up playing 35 minutes. And if he does that, then that price tag is way too low.
Yeah, don't hate that call. On the Kings side of things, like, as much as we like De'Aaron Fox, I feel like, man, 88 is a tough ask for him here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like most of the time he just barely makes value. Like, 8,800 is just one of these spots going up against a tough matchup in Philadelphia. He can absolutely still go for a huge game at any given time. Like, we've seen his upside multiple times this season. Has a 70-point game, has a 60-point game, but most of the time he's going to end up in the 40s range and has a decent shot at a 35-point range. I'd throw him in if you want on a stack, but even that's tough to do unless a lot of value opens up, because you want to bring it back with Embiid and probably Simmons too. So I'm using Fox. I think the better play is probably Harrison Barnes. Like, he had a rough game the other night versus the Clippers, but he shot 1 from 7 from the field. He just wasn't shooting well, but he's been randomly just playing either great or horrible for a while. This isn't the greatest matchup in the world, but he's still got over 40 in 3 of the last 4 games here. He's going to play high 30s minutes. The game stays close, he has a chance of putting up over 40 points. I don't think it comes in generally at too high ownership. So My two favorite plays are Barnes and then probably Halliburton, because you're getting a drastic discount from Fox to him. And I know you're not going to get the same upside, but he still has 40-point upside. So those are the two guys that probably bring back in a stack. But like, Barnes is by far my favorite player around Sacramento.
Rashawn Holmes, man. Let's do it. No, I'm just kidding. Barnes is probably my favorite play too from Sacramento. And man, the more we get through the slate, the more I really don't love this slate. This is, man, like the Detroit news is really going to dictate this whole slate. Anyway, last game is Boston at Utah. No total in this game. Jaylen Brown's questionable. Marcus Smart's out. Mike Conley's out. You're probably one of the most competitive games that we'll have on the slate, but I don't know. Competitive games aren't always great for DFS. Grant, what do we like here for Boston?
Tatum, if Brown's out, is a fantastic play at 9.2K. I'll see an increase in usage. He's going to shoot the ball 25-plus times in this matchup. It's a tough matchup, but Tatum's first guy that I'm looking at, and Kemba's the second guy. I mean, Brown's out. He's going to play 30-plus minutes, and he's probably going to shoot the ball 20 times. Had a horrific shooting night the other night versus Phoenix, but he still put up 20 shots, 19 shots, 18 shots the last three games. He can start at 6.6K if he has a hot shooting night. But, yeah, it's kind of all dependent on if Brown plays or not. And then if Brown's out, then you probably look at some of the ancillary value that is going to get some extra run here because everyone else is way cheap.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Kemba, man, 4-for-20 the other night against Phoenix, but played 33 minutes. Like, I think we have to look at him in this spot. Outside of that, like maybe at, you know, Pritchard at 4K if Smart or if Brown gets ruled out, you know, I just, you know, you don't love it, but he's only 4K, so he's someone that you could potentially look at for value. You know, it doesn't seem like they really want to play Jeff Teague a ton of minutes right now. So, and then on the Utah side of things, I think like Mike Conley being out is, you know, low key huge news on this slate. Just kind of, you know, looking through this slate, what's your thoughts here on Utah?
Yeah, with Conley being out, we're getting Point Mitchell at 8.1K in a competitive game. I mean, he put up 56 points the last game. Like, he gets a massive assist increase and he still gets puts up the same number of shots. Like, can't remember what his usage was against Indy, but it was pretty darn high. So Mitchell is by far my favorite play. He's one of the better plays on the entire slate without Conley in there. I think Clarkson's fine. Like, he should get a little bit of an increase in minutes. We know that he's going to eat up a ton of usage whenever he's in the game. If he gets hot shooting, then he should end up crushing. It's those two guys. I'm always fine with Rudy. Not a bad match for him. Bogdanovich, Ingles are both fine, but not great plays. They're priced about where they should be at 6.1 and 5.8K. Both of them have the potential to put up a massive outing any time, but it's Mitchell and it's Clarkson. Like, Point Mitchell is absolutely underpriced at 8.1K.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell had a 37% usage rate the other night against the Pacers, so that just kind of gives you an idea of what you're looking at for this slate as far as he goes. And then, man, I don't hate Rudy Gobert in this spot. Like, you know, I think, like, when you're looking at the matchup overall, he could definitely do really well in this matchup. So I really like Mitchell. I don't mind taking shots on Gobert. But, yeah, I think Clarkson at 6K is someone you could potentially look at here. Let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Give me your favorite play under 5K to go 7X.
Seth Curry.
All right. I like it. I'm going to go with Dwayne Bacon, you know, just because we don't know the Detroit news. I'll go with Bacon because we kind of know what's going to be with the Magic. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust at the top today?
I just had it here. I already forgot. How did I already forget? Oh, gosh. I did already forget who it was. I'm going to go with De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, he's probably like the least likely guy to end up in that range on this slate. Outside of him, like, everybody in this range is, like, really strong, really solid. I think the guy that I end up the least outside of Fox is probably Curry. I know that's not always the greatest idea, but I really like Harden, you know, Lillard against Orlando, like, you know, a lot of these guys we talked about. So I think Curry is the guy that I end up on the least here. Favorite 6X play, who do you got?
Donovan Mitchell.
And we are on the same page today. That is exactly who I was thinking as well. Really like that's the spot for him. I'm going to go with John Wall. Noel Oladipo, I think this is a great spot for him. Let's get weird GPP play of the day. Who do you got?
Keldon Johnson.
All right.
I think that's pretty weird.
I'm going to go with Lonzo Ball. I don't know how weird that is, but we'll see. Contest selection, anything standing out to you on FanDuel or DraftKings today?
No, Super Draft just keeps having an overlay, though, every single day. They're just losing a boatload of money on their contests. So that's their $12 and $4 tournaments are one of the most positive EV spots out there.
I like it. Always chase an overlay. You gotta chase that overlay really good right after Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, there was definitely overlay there, and definitely did not help me. Thanks, Gronk.
I'm gonna go with the $27 single entry fast break on DraftKings today. Pays 23% of the field. Top 10 is under 40%. This is a solid bankroll building tournament, and you know, it's kind of like hidden, so like not a lot of people see it. So really like that one over there. Any over under against the spread? Anything standing out to you here?
I can't find anything. Like, there's nothing up on DraftKings. All right, here we go. FanDuel has some mods up now. I'm gonna go with Detroit plus 9 versus Brooklyn.
All right, Detroit plus 9.
You may want to wait though to hit that line if you are gonna bet it, because it's large. Like, I'd wait around for them to give out their injury report, because 6 guys could end up playing or not playing. Like, so their guard position is going to be fairly important to whether they have a shot keeping close. If Wright and Ellington both get ruled out, then I think it's probably not a great bet anymore. But so you just wait until that game or until the injury report goes in there. And then if they're in, you hammer the Pistons plus 9.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Philly minus 4.5. Like, I know they're on the road, but Sacramento is a terrible defensive team. Philly's healthy right now. I really like this spot for Philly, so I will I'll give the points there a little bit. Any final thoughts before we get out of here, Grant?
No, just goodbye football season. Hello, only basketball.
It is NASCAR season, buddy.
sorry, done forgot.
Done forgot. That's going to wrap it up here for Tuesday. We'll be back Wednesday talking some more hoops. Hope everyone has a great day. Good luck in your contest, and we'll see you then.
See you, kids.